bad you don't think much of getting married, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I think well of it, Stevie. Very well. I just don't think much about it. It's funny you should happen to give me a lecture on matrimony just tonight.
Reed Wilson versus matrimony. In today's episode of Against the Storm. Today we bring you another chapter of Against the Storm, written by Sandra Michael and presented by the makers of Ivory Soap. You ladies are probably the chief reminders in your family, aren't you? You know, hey, Dad, don't forget to wear your rubbers, looks like rain. Or, Junior, don't forget to wash behind your ears, too. Yeah, there's a lot of reminding to be done, even in the best of families. As a matter of fact, I don't see how most of us would have gotten along without mothers to remind us to get up in the morning or eat our spinach or do our lessons and so forth. But even the best reminders sometimes slip up a little. So I aim to do a little reminding myself today. I want to remind you to try Ivory Soap for your dishwashing. You see, I figure with all the things you busy mothers have to think of, you don't often have time to think about your hands. But I'm sure you'll all agree that you'd rather have soft, smooth hands than rough red ones. And that's why you really ought to give Ivory a try in your dishpan. You see, Ivory soap is pure. Pure enough even for a baby's skin. So naturally, a soap as pure as this is going to be a lot easier on your hands than some strong wash day soap. In fact, if those mean old strong soaps have made your hands rough and red, even so, if you just change to pure Ivory soap for all your dishwashing, your hands will be softer and smoother. Yep, in just 2 weeks' time, you'll see a difference. And here's the thing about Ivory that you don't have to be reminded of more than once. As soon as you try this pure soap in your dishpan, you'll see how thrifty it is. Yep, one of those big, husky, large-sized cakes will take care of all your dishwashing for more than 10 days. In fact, it actually costs less to wash dishes with Ivory than with those granulated soaps you use on wash day. That's a fact. Ivory soap costs less than a penny a day for all your dishwashing. So how about it? May I remind you to put Ivory soap on your shopping list right now? Neither Christy Cameron, nor Mark Scott, nor Kathy Reimer, nor Peter Alden Hale, nor anyone so far concerned with their lives, has ever heard of Cesar Galicio. And of course, that doesn't make it in the least remarkable that something Mr. Galicio is about to say will have an indirect influence on their lives. That isn't remarkable because fate always works in such devious ways. But here is Mr. Galicio. He owns something vital in our cultural and gastronomical scene, known as a lunch wagon. Cesar Galicio, hamburger supreme, 10 cents. It isn't really a wagon. It's a very small, narrow room between two buildings. Smug little place. And here, late of an evening, many a pleasant half hour has been spent by home-going New Yorkers. Several newspaper men are regular customers. They're Caesar's favorites, especially Mr. Reed Wilson, recently returned from Europe. Tonight, Reed Wilson had dinner with Kathy Reimer and her grandfather. Later, he and Kathy went for a walk. Some of the things they talked about have lingered in Mr. Wilson's busy mind. He's thinking of them as he sits down now at Cesar Galicio's friendly lunch counter.
Well, what would it be, Mr. Wilson? Something different for a change?
Okay, Cesar. What have you got?
How about a nice special hamburger? Just for a change.
Yep, let's try that.
Just for a change. Just for 10 cents, change.
Not so hot, Cesar.
Huh? The hamburger?
No, the joke. I'll take my coffee now, please.
Come right up. Here you are. Nice, fresh coffee, made just about 5 minutes ago.
Thanks.
Well, how's the newspaper business these days, Mr. Wilson?
Not the same, Peter.
Still at it over there, I see.
Yeah.
Well, just let them leave us, see. That's all I got to say. Just a second. I'll have your hamburger for you.
Good. I'm hungry.
What's the matter? Didn't you eat no dinner again tonight?
What? Dinner?
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I had a very fine dinner. Homemade.
You don't say. That's something new. Here you are.
All right. Thanks. It's good.
Must it? Good? Show me a hotter hamburger anywhere. Any price and I'll eat it. You're darn right it's good. Nothing but ain't number one meat in there. How come you're so hungry if you had a good home-cooked dinner?
Oh, it was a while ago. 7 o'clock. I was taking a long walk since that time.
Oh. Nice weather for a walk.
Yeah. Fine.
Some baseball game today, huh?
Yeah, I hear him.
Oh, say, I wanted to tell you. Remember about that trouble I told you my sister-in-law had with a second husband?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, with the three kids. Well, they patched it up.
Oh, they did.
Yep. Last night she comes over to our house, all decked up in a new outfit. Boy, I hardly know her when she walks in. And she says everything is fine and dandy. They quit fighting and they ain't going to split up. Hey, can you beat it? It just was one of them writers, them advice writers in the paper. Some woman, she gave them some advice about not to get a divorce, and there they are, all made up and happy again.
That's fine, is it? Glad to hear it.
Just like you said. You know, they ought to give being married a trial before they bust it up.
I said that? None of them been giving anybody advice about their private lives.
Why, you were saying in a general way the other night, when you were in here.
Peter, don't ever pay any attention to what I say. I'm an unreliable authority.
Say, you know, I don't see why you ain't married, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, come on, Peter. Don't go back on that sign up there. Why get married? Eat here and stay happy.
Oh, that's just a little business booster. Just a little joker to make the customers laugh. At heart, though, I believe in marriage. Oh, I kid about it, same as everybody else. But I believe in it. Strong.
Yeah, that's good, Peter. Somebody ought to.
Don't you?
Sure, for those who choose.
You know, I'll bet you just think you ever met the right girl. That's probably your trouble.
That's my good luck to me.
I know. There's nothing like having a little partner by your side. Through thick and thin, and a home. Why, look at you now. Here you are at 1 o'clock in the morning, sitting at a counter eating a hamburger. And then you go to your hotel room. When you could be having a nice home to go to. If you were hungry, you could raid the ice box. I saw a movie last week on my afternoon off. A young couple raided the ice box like that. You know, Mr. Wilson, there's a lot of things can give you a good, solid kind of feeling about life.
Jesus, I had no idea you had such strong feelings about domestic bliss. You don't suppose it could possibly have something to do with the fact that you're not married?
No, I know, Mr. Wilson. Look at you. You're not married. You feel just the opposite.
I what?
Well, you don't think much of getting married.
Oh, I think well of it. Very well. I just don't think much about it.
Maybe you ought to.
That is, I don't ordinarily. Funny thing, you should happen to give me a lecture on matrimony just tonight, though.
How do you mean?
Well, it strikes me as funny. Say, how about another cup of coffee, Caesar? John, good tonight.
Mr. Reed Wilson, much as Caesar Galicio had described his habits, did soon go off into the night to his lonely hotel room in Midtown, New York. He spent a good deal of time trying to adjust the windows to encourage a draft of spring air. He succeeded chiefly in getting himself full of cinders and soot. Maybe this was one reason why he lay sleepless for an hour, 2 hours after going to bed. He had ample time to think of many things. He thought of dinner at Kathy's and her grandfather's house. He thought about the walk he and Kathy had taken, and he thought of Kathy. Soon he thought of a most amazing and wholly imaginary conversation between himself and Kathy Reimer.
Kathy, will you marry me?
I really...
Will you, Kathy?
Oh, really? You don't have to ask me that.
No. Looked at the hotel room windows and closed his eyes to imagine a different treatment of the same general subject.
Kathy, darling.
You call me darling.
Yes, I called you darling on purpose. Kathy, I've never felt like this about any other girl. I've never really wanted to marry any other girl. But I do want to marry you.
I didn't know that. I loved you so much until just now.
No. Mr. Wilson actually blushes, at least mentally, when he reflects on his own imaginary perfidy. This has to be honest, or he could never talk to Kathy at all.
Kathy Ryman.
Yes, Mr. Reed Wilson?
I'm going to ask you to marry me. I've asked a girl that question once before. She turned me down. I felt pretty badly about it at the time, but I got over it. And now I'm glad. I'm grateful with my whole soul that she said no. Because she couldn't hold a candle to you, Kathy. No girl I've ever met could compare with you.
Well, I am very flattered to think that I have passed your critical requirements with such fine success, Mr. Reed.
And that version of his great scene doesn't suit Mr. Wilson either. He jumps up and walks in his bare feet to the window. He stands frowning down on the city.
Oh, what the dickens is the matter with me anyway? Of all the crazy ideas, proposing to Kathy Reimer. I certainly wouldn't blame her if she answered me the way she just did. I think I am on a merry-go-round. I wonder why I can't sleep. Probably those hamburgers at Caesar's. Unless it was Caesar's lecture on matrimony. Well, if I could just get a breeze going through this room, I'd probably drop off to sleep like nothing. Boy, I don't like to think of summer in this place. If Kathy knew what it's like to be cooped up in a place like her grandfather's apartment during July and August, she'd be just that much more anxious to get him out into the country. The country.
Just a little house with a small piece of garden. And the security of knowing that one would never, never have to worry about the day tomorrow. Now, of course, it doesn't seem like a very modest wish. Because after all, it is asking for everything, isn't it?
Kathy. I wonder what that perfume is she uses. It's always very faint, but I always remember just what it's like.
For a little while longer, Reed Wilson stood at the open windows. When finally a breeze of very early morning came in off the distant ocean, he went back to bed and fell asleep. But in the morning, he had not forgotten. Friends, you can't really tell what a difference Ivory soap can make in the appearance of your hands till you try it for your dishwashing. Did you know, for instance, that Ivory soap can help your hands become softer and smoother in just 2 weeks? Yes, if your hands are rough and red from using strong soaps for your dishes, Ivory will help them look nicer in just 2 weeks' time. That's because Ivory soap is pure. It's pure enough for a baby's skin, so naturally a pure soap like this will be kind to your hands. Now, when Ivory has helped your hands look soft and smooth, help keep them that way. Won't you stick to Ivory? Use it faithfully every time you do dishes. You can afford to give your hands this gentle protection, you know. It costs less to wash dishes with pure Ivory soap than it does with those granulated soaps you use on wash day. Incidentally, get the large size cake for dishes.
Hello, Kathy. Yeah, this is Reed. Oh, fine, thanks. I certainly did enjoy that dinner last night. Mm-hmm. And, Kathy, I wonder if you'd care to have dinner with me tonight. What? Didn't you? Oh, I didn't realize you were going back so soon. Look here. How about letting me take you to the station, at least?
Reed Wilson makes an attempt to improve in real life on the scenes he imagines. In tomorrow's episode of Against the Storm. This is Ralph Edwards saying good day for the makers of Ivory Soap and Ivory Flakes. Ivory Flakes are Ivory Soap in quick-dissolving flake form. So if you use that big blue box of Ivory Flakes for dishwashing, you give your hands the protection of the same famous ivory purity you get in Ivory Soap. 99 and 44 100% pure. It floats. Drama, philosophy, deep thinking, and strong action. These are the ingredients of The Guiding Light, that splendid radio drama which I'm sure will appeal to all of you equally with Against the Storm, which you've just heard. Stay tuned in for The Guiding Light.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.